Hi there, everyone, and welcome along to this week's Racing Postcast. It's Monday, the 29th of November. I'm Maddie Plough, your host, and on the panel this week we have James Stevens and Justin O'Hanlon to look back on a fantastic weekend of action at Newbury and Fairy House. The stars of the show, well, there were quite a few of them: Ahoy Senor, Cloudy Glen at Newbury, and then, of course, who could forget the Queen Honeysuckle making it lucky 13 out of 13 in the Hatton's Grace at Fairy House on Sunday. We have a similarly good weekend coming up. No Shishkin in the Tingle Creek, but nevertheless, it's going to be a belter, and also action over the Grand National Fences in the Beecher Chase. So lots to get stuck into. And we have both our English representative and our Irish representative to go through the top class action. I want to start off at Newbury, James, formerly a local track for you. And let's start off with probably one of the most dominant and one of the most exciting performances we've seen from a horse this season, maybe. Maybe I'm going too far. What do you think? Ahoy Senor, he was absolutely just imperious in the Grade 2 John Frankham Novices Chase for Derek Fox and Lucinda Russell. What was your reaction to this performance? Were you expecting it?
I don't think I was expecting it. No, I think my reaction was similar to anyone else who'd have watched the race. Just the wow factor. I mean, we knew already how good this horse was. He'd beaten Brave Man's Game by 7 lengths at Aintree last season, and we know how good that form is turning out to be. And I suppose when this horse fell in the Colin Parker, we were sort of questioning just, you know, was that a fluke? Was it not? And we all got put in our place if we questioned him. It was a superb performance. You know, if you watch the way he sort of goes about his business, it's really, really sort of impressive. You know, the jumping was good enough. There was a few novice mistakes, but look, it's only his second start, and the first one was a full. So, you know, you can allow that and you can expect that. But the way he sort of travelled through it, and the way he beat three pretty good horses as well. I mean, I know we've mentioned Small Fields a lot, but they're three solid horses, and the Irish horse was pretty well backed. So you can expect that horse to have been fully tuned up for it. It was a seriously impressive performance, and I think this is going to be a serious player in that three-mile novice chase division this season. I imagine Connections, who caught with Peter Scudamore, said he's the best horse he's been involved with. I mean, that's some statement, and I imagine now that they've got to look at those Grade 1 targets. Probably a rematch with Brave Man's Gain at Kempton, I'd imagine, is where they go. I'll be interested to see who they price up as favourite, and, you know, given what happened yesterday, Ahoy Senor could be well above sort of a good Grade 1 novice horse. He looks exceptional, and it's a really exciting horse, and it's always good to see other connections away from the big stables have a real superstar, and he certainly looks one.
Hear, totally agree with that. Who would you take for the Quarto Star? Who do you think would win? Because Brave Man's Game seemingly had his excuses at Aintree, but equally Ahoy Senor looks a pretty powerful chaser as well.
It's a really tough one. I was sat here this morning thinking just the same thing and hoping you wouldn't ask me. So thanks very much for that one, Maddie. I like the way Brave Man Game jumps, and I like how he's taken to fences. And I just feel that Paul Nicholls will properly tune him up for that, and he'll really want to sort of get revenge on that horse. So I'd probably tempt a Brave Man's Game. But to be honest with you, it wouldn't be a race I'd be mad keen to punt. I'm more just sit back and watch and enjoy, to be honest. But my God, they're two horses that, you know, we talk about the Counter Star and Novice Chase, about how good a race it is and how, you know, year on year. But we're going to have two horses that are not just Grade 1 Novice Chases in that race, proper Grade 1 Chases, if you see what I mean. Two really exciting horses going forward.
They are indeed, and maybe not in the jumping department, but this horse actually reminds me a lot of Coney Gree in the way that he's just relentless, remorseless, and they clearly think a lot of him after you say not an ideal start at Carlisle, but pitched him into Grade 2 company here. He is already a Grade 1 winner. Justin, just quickly for you, whose side would you be on at Kempton on Boxing Day?
I think that division is boiling up very, very nicely indeed, and don't forget, of course, over here we've the likes of Bob Allinger and Fernie Hollow still to come out as well. But just a note of caution about Ahoy Senor. I was very, very disappointed with the run of Mr. Incredible, who never jumped, never travelled at all at any stage of the race, and is much, much better than that. You know, there is a little bit of a note of caution to be issued there with the way Ahoy Senor won. But I mean, he could only beat what was put in front of him, and he did it very impressively. It'll be a good contest between the two of them. But I still think the Irish novices probably still have the edge over the British novices at this stage. But we'll see. It's a long season.
There's so many of them still yet to come out, isn't there? Fernie Hollow, yes. You mentioned there, he's got some really strong form lines. Appreciate it as well.
Appreciate it still to come, yeah.
Can't wait to see those two back in action. Now on to the feature, which is the Ladbrokes Trophy Chase. It was a shock winner, 33-1 shot, Cloudy Glen. But what wasn't a shock was the colours that came to the fore, those of Trevor Hemmings, who we sadly lost recently, Venetia Williams and Charlie Deutsch combining with this bit of a quirky eight-year-old. He'd had a wind operation. This was his first run since. And he stayed on to beat Fiddler on the Roof, who was well-backed at 9-2 and only lost out by half a length in the end. The two big guns on the ropes, well, he was always towards the rear. He ended up finishing fourth, quite a nice run from him. And Eclat de Rear, the 3-1 favourite, never really going either and was pulled up before the 17th. But the complexion of this race changed an awful lot when My Fancy Remastered came down four out. That one hurt, I must admit. But who's to say Cloudy Glen wouldn't have won anyway, James? How do you rank him among recent Ladbrokes Trophy winners?
I wouldn't sort of rank him particularly high, mostly because, you know, he didn't have the same sort of weight that a lot of horses had. But in fairness to the horse, you know, it was just a really sort of textbook way you should win a race like that, isn't it? Sort of jump and travel round and stay on. I mean, I don't quite know a lot about this horse, to be honest with you. As you say, he's a bit quirky. You know, he's had his wind up and he's clearly taken a massive step forward. There was quite an interesting line from the post-race quote from Venetia Williams, who said basically he'd had his wind up, he did a bit of work and she just couldn't quite believe it. So it doesn't surprise me that they've sort of gone, let's keep this race, let's target train for this race. And, you know, it's paid off in brilliant style. I mean, what happens to this horse next? I don't quite know. Presumably with the connections, you'd imagine they'll be trying to look at sort of a national aim, maybe this year, maybe perhaps sort of build for the future next year. I think he's a good horse, but I think we've seen better winners of a Ladbrokes Trophy in years gone by. As you say, Remastered, that one would have hurt. I mean, he was in the process of running a massive race for sure, and you sort of know how well he stays. You know, I don't
you
know.
You think he would have won?
I think he would have gone very close, yeah. I, you know, we don't know what he would have done the last few fences and such, and that might have been important, but he would have gone close. I thought Fiddle on the Roof Joe Tizard called it yesterday when I spoke to him, was a blinder, and that's no surprise. An RPR of 164, which is particularly high, actually, which is only a few pounds off what Native River had for the yard when he won. So that's a really nice horse. I'm interested to see what they do with him next. They've mentioned the King George. But to me, he seems a bit quite versatile in terms of trip. And I just wonder whether they might avoid those sort of grade twos and maybe drop him back in trip for the Ascot Chase, because he didn't look short of pace when he won at Carlisle. But yeah, the only other one that caught my eye was On the Ropes, who to me just looks like a proper staying sort. I'd be interested in what Justin thinks of him. Could he be a perhaps national type in years to come?
I like the sound of that. Justin, what do you think?
Possibly. I think he got a long way behind early on. I missed the first couple of fences. It was a clash with a race at Ferryhouse on Saturday. But someone told me he made a bad mistake at the first, but I don't see that mentioned in the comments and running. But he was way too far back to make any kind of challenge, and whether he was just too slow, I don't know. But I wouldn't object to the opinion that he could well be an out and out stayer. But he won over 3 miles at Limerick, which is quite a quick track, and on ground which was, I suppose, probably good to soft in the Munster National. So you know, I wouldn't really think he's an out and out stayer, but he certainly is a horse to stay as well. But you know, he's not slow. I think he was, whether something happened in the early stages of that race to have him so far back, I'm sure it wasn't by design.
Would you be giving up on him?
I wouldn't give up on him. I called the race that he won at Wexford, and I wasn't 1,000% convinced by him that day. I certainly thought he'd do better than he did now on Saturday, but it definitely was very much a bad day at the office. But you know, his jumping wasn't good enough. It got him too far back, and really, you know, the right was on the wall from a long, long way out. But I mean, he's certainly better than that. But I thought he was a little bit behind Henry's Gold Cup horses, even after he won at Wexford, and he's certainly a hell of a long way behind them now after that.
Okay, so not a Gold Cup outsider then, to keep on side for
not,
Justin.
Not in he's... the slightest.
he's not convinced by Eclat de Rire, even after that horse was pulled up in Saturday's Ladbrokes Trophy. And Rillo, another key player, he fell at the 14th, just didn't quite jump well enough, but was well involved up to that point. Other good action at Newbury. I want to just chuck a few out there for you, James. LA Bell, what about her for the Mares Novices Hurdle? She was probably going to reverse form with Nina Viteria anyway in the listed Novices Hurdle.
Yeah, I was impressed by her, as I'm sure most people were watching it. I thought, you know, she's had some really good form going into the race. The race at Newbury, she looked at, like, you know, I was there that day where she was beaten by Nina Viteria. She looked desperate in need of a run, and she took the required step forward to win well. I mean, look, I don't know the pattern as well as perhaps most, but to me, there's not too many listed sort of grade Mares Novice Hurdles over here that we're going to sort of see the superstars emerge. You know, the Mares Novice Hurdle, since it's been brought in, has been the Irish dominant race, isn't it? They just seem to win it every year. So judging what races we should be looking at in terms of that is not particularly easy. But to me, this is probably going to be one of the best British chances in that race. You know, she's got some brilliant form. I like the way she went about business. And I imagine that's going to be the target for her. It looks the right race for her at this stage of her career. And how her form stacks up against the Irish, to be honest, I'm not quite sure. And I imagine that just as years gone by, there's been a few better than her. And there will be a few come Cheltenham. But I think she's going to go there with a chance for sure. But no, a good performance, and she's clearly a very, very good mare for the Skeltons.
And it was a day about sort of emotion, wasn't it? And silks, if nothing else, Sir Peter O'Sullivan silks carried by Capcaws in his own race, a fragile but talented athlete who bounced back to form, give Paul Nicholls a double at Newbury. What did you make of that? Because that's just Paul Nicholls at his best for me.
Yeah. I think we've seen it quite a few times actually this season. It seems to be a bit of a theme of the season, and just some really what we'd always call great training performances, which are not scientists lose how good they are, but trainers really targeting a race and getting a horse absolutely right on the day. West Cork is the one that stands out for me in the Greatwood. It's happened quite a few times this season. I think the trainers are just, it's becoming less of a surprise to see these horses win after quite a lengthy delay. But as you say, you know, that's a lovely race to target because of all the meaning behind it. And it's lovely to see those colours win at Newbury. As you say, it was a day of silks, as you say, with Cloudy Glenn and Trevor Hemming's silks winning. It's nice when the sport does that sometimes. And yeah, I hope this horse can get a few runs under his belt this season, because as you say, he's been pretty frustrating probably for the connections.
Okay, so I'm just going to backtrack a little bit here and give you the prices. So for the Festival Novices Chase, well, it's the Brown Advisory now, isn't it? Formerly the RSA. Ahoy Senor is an 8-1 chance. Brave Man's Game, who we talked about at 10s. And then Beacon Edge, who we'll talk about in just a little while, at 14-1. And we'll see how those staying chasers get on in the future. Talking of staying chasers, let's talk about the Rehearsal Chase up at Newcastle. Looked absolutely grim weather conditions, but I Wright, who's been something of a sort of standing dish for Northern trainer Harriet Graham for the last couple of years, finally got his big win under regular rider Callum Bewley in the feature there, just holding off Good Boy Bobby after the final fence. Good to see this horse get his day in the sun, wasn't it, Justin?
Yeah, I just actually briefly looked at that race there before we came on. He's got a lovely way of jumping about him. I think that won the race from, apart from getting into the bottom of the last fence a little bit, but it was his jumping that won it. And I mean, he's a horse who's mixed it in pretty good company. He was second in the Hennessy last year, wasn't he? And he was was he placed in the Charlie Hall? He's held his own in good company. And as you say, yeah, nice to see a horse like that get his day.
It was. Now, moving quickly on to the Fighting Fifth, how many grade ones end in the dead heat? Well, not many. I must admit, I thought Epitone had won the race, but turns out that she shared the spoils with Hughie Morrison's Not So Sleepy. Very unique situation, James. Can't really remember a race like this in my time in the sport.
No, it was a weird one, and it's even more sort of weird watching it back, because I can't sort of assess... I'm struggling to assess it, actually, to be honest. I mean, Not So Sleepy, start with him. I mean, he always promised to be a very, very good horse, didn't he? We've sort of seen him on the flat and seen him go in some of those nice handicaps, and he always looked like he could be sort of one of those grade one hurdlers. And I suppose we found out he did. I mean, for their perspective, imagine that camp probably a little bit frustrated, actually. It was a dead heat in a way, because he didn't jump the last two very well at all. I mean, if he made such a mess of them, and given the fact it was a dead heat, you're going to look back and think, well, any little margin is the difference. So I imagine they're probably a little bit frustrated in the back of their mind that he could win it outright. But he's won a grade one, I suppose, even if it is a dead heat, and he's always promised to win one. So it's probably hard to complain. I mean, there's no doubt that Epitome was the horse to beat in the race. She looked to be travelling like she was back to her very best, but just didn't quite finish in the way we'd seen, especially the impression she left last season. You know, perhaps the race wasn't run to suit. You know, I know we're going to talk about Honeysuckle and how good she was, but, you know, let's not forget, this is a champion hurdle winner. She's a very good mare, and the way she hurdles is always going to be something that makes her stand out in the division. So, before writing her off completely, albeit she's still got plenty to do with Honeysuckle, I'd like to see her run in the Christmas Hurdle, because it's hard to judge that race. It just didn't feel like a race that was completely true and straightforward. So, look, she's dead-heated, I suppose you can say. She's back to form. But, yeah, I still feel she's a little bit better than what we've seen. And to be honest, since she won the last season, I don't think we've seen the real Epitome yet.
So, James, not too downbeat on the chances of Epitome then, the former champion hurdle winner, but the reigning champion hurdle hero is, of course, Honeysuckle. I'll read out the champion hurdle betting for you. She is 4-5 at the top of the market. Sharjah, who we saw winning the Morgiana at 12. Epitome herself at 14s alongside Fernie Hollow, who's going to go for a chasing campaign. Similarly appreciated as 16s. And Echoes in Rain pushed out to 25-1. Justin, this is a really one-sided market, and we're going to go into Honeysuckle's win in more depth, but this is the Irish dominance all over again, isn't it? What do you put it down to?
We have better horses.
You do have better horses, but why? Why is that?
These things tend to run in cycles, Maddie. You know, we're on top at the moment. The programme for races over here is probably a little bit better and a little less bloated. You can maybe target horses a little bit more effectively over here. And for a mare like Honeysuckle, I mean, her programme throughout the season just writes itself at the moment.
But I guess you could say that for Epitome as well, with the, you know, this race, then the Christmas Hurdle.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I heard what James said about Epitome. Maybe the race wasn't run to suit her, but I mean, good horses win races when they're not run to suit them, and she couldn't beat a horse who was, she couldn't beat a 152 rated horse on Saturday, which is about it. That's about as good as he is, I would suggest. And I mean, Soul Royal looked like winning the race jump at the last. It's I think you can forget those two as regards being potential champion hurdle winners, but I think you can basically say that about the rest of the field, with the exception of Honeysuckle anyway. What was your question?
Is why do you think that the Irish have such strong horses?
Well, it's as I say, it's a cycle that we're on at the moment. It will turn eventually, and I think most of the time you can just put it down to something like that.
Okay, so you don't think there's a big sort of systemic issue at hand here?
It's hard to say. It will change. It will change. Things will turn more towards the favour of British trained horses eventually. They will get it right. We have the right formula at the moment, as regards programme, as regards prize money as well. And that's the way it is at the moment. But I've no doubt that it will. You know, it won't always remain that way.
We're going to get even more into the Irish dominance and talk about Fairy House's card yesterday, just after this.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice. And listen today.
So let's go through the card chronologically then. Phil Dorr justified short odds in the Grade 3 Juvenile Hurdle for David Russell and Gordon Elliott. Quite a mixed division so far this year. We don't seem to have a standout candidate just yet. Justin, how do you sum up this horse and what he did yesterday?
Yeah, well, I mean, It was obvious he was going to have a little bit more on his plate yesterday than when he won in his debut at Down Royal, which was a romp, albeit against a couple of horses with some decent form that day. But he was coming up against a good horse now yesterday in Nomi's Lunar Power. And Lunar Power went put him to the, looked like he was going to really put it up to him from the second last. But you'd have to say from the last field door, he took command from the last and he won with a little bit of authority. I think the first and second there are two pretty good juveniles and they'll be banged there at the end of the season. But at the moment, it looks an open division. I think it's about 6-1 the field for the Triumph Hurdle at the moment. And there isn't as yet an absolutely outstanding candidate. But I think Field Door is probably the best we've seen. And I imagine he's going to improve as the season goes on. I think he's a worthy favourite for the race at the moment. But, you know, I certainly wouldn't put it past the runner-up to get within maybe a length of him in Cheltenham, for example, or if they meet again before that. I think they're two good juveniles, but Field Door just has the edge at the moment.
Yeah, almost you could say he's precocious for a jumper, couldn't you? 5-1 at the top of the Triumph Hurdle betting in this world. He was really impressive at Warwick. Can't wait to see that horse next. Perhaps it'll be Kempton. Porticello also I put up at the start of the season at 16s. And it's 20-1 bar. So that division hopefully is going to be coming to the boil over the following months. James, I'll go to you next about Statuaire, who flew late to claim the Royal Bond from my mate Mozzie. This was a really well-timed ride from Danny Mullins. The connections are now saying she's going to be heading towards the Mayor's Novices Hurdle. Is this sort of the latest evidence against this race existing? Shouldn't we be seeing, you know, open grade one winners like her head for the Supreme?
I suppose I watched the race and felt that she probably wasn't the best horse in it and probably wouldn't be the best horse in it come the end of the season. You know, we looked at sort of my mate Mozzie had a sort of an untidy jump. And then he sort of slowed down into it and then he made an untidy jump. And I think the combination of those two probably cost him the race, to be honest. And she was there just to sort of finish strongest and win the race. So, you know, I sort of looked at it and went, this might be as good as she gets. You know, it's a grade one race. And so the Mayor's Novice Hurdle, if that's how good they feel she is, then that's the way they should go. I mean, the important thing to remember about this all is that she's trained by someone who knows what it takes to win certain races and knows what they've got in the stable. So that might be an inclination about how good the hand is in the Supreme already. You know, you just mentioned there about the sort of Irish dominance. I mean, I watched this race back and thought, this is a grade one. But, you know, there's no reason why a British horse couldn't have gone over there and given that a proper go. You know, that wasn't the strongest grade one novice hurdle you see every day. So we talk about the Irish dominance and stuff. Maybe British trainers just aren't going over there as much as they should. You know, bar Paul Nicholls, the only one who seems to know which way is Ireland at the minute. Maybe that's something for food report. I watched the race. I was intrigued by the run of Mighty Potter, actually. I thought this horse might need a little bit further and it'll be interesting to see what they do with him. And interesting what Justin would think. But yeah, I think this horse will be better over probably 2.5 miles. And there's plenty of options in Ireland over that sort of distance as a novice hurdler.
Totally agree, Ree, the third place horse. And I would just say as well, I think it's a funny time of year for British trainers to be going over with their novices. You think it was quite a winnable grade one. I'm not sure they'd agree. They're running scared, aren't they, largely at the moment? Let's just give you a price on Statuaire for the Mayor's Novices Hurdle. She's 8-1. L.A. Bell, who we mentioned earlier, the same price. Grangy at 9, who was seen winning impressively recently as well. Justin, your view on the Royal Bond, please.
I thought it was a deeply unsatisfactory race. Many, they absolutely crawled most of the way. Many of them raced too keen, including the winner, in fact. And my mate Mozzie was the best horse in the race for me and would have won but for that mistake at the last. I'd say they're absolutely delighted to get a grade one win out of Statuaire. I really do not see her being involved at the business end in a grade one race for the rest of the season. I think this race pretty much fell into her lap. And the second and third, I agree with James with the third, Mighty Potter, who I think is a horse who does want to trip, and another one who raced too keenly. You know, it was just unsatisfactory. And, you know, I wouldn't expect the form of this race to stand up terribly well as the season goes on, particularly where the winner is involved. I think my mate Mozzie, probably the best, I think certainly the best horse in the race. Mighty Potter, possibly the second best in the race.
Would you therefore be at any point interested in the 16-1 for the Supreme Novices Hurdle for my mate Mozzie?
I wouldn't generally get involved at this stage of the season, But we'll see what happens. I think I'd like to see what he can do in a more truly run race. I think I was speaking to Gavin Cromwell afterwards. I think he's going to avoid Christmas and possibly go straight to the Deloitte at the Dublin Racing Festival in February. And that's usually a truly run race over 2.25 miles, and we'll get a much better idea of what he's capable of there. But I would think he's definitely capable of better than what he showed yesterday.
Okay, Kilcrut about 4-1 in that market, but the favourite is currently John Bonn, who we saw at Newbury on Friday making a really smooth hurdling debut. James, can't believe this horse. We actually somehow managed to miss him off the running order, so I'll have a slap on the wrist for that one. This was a fantastic first effort. People, including myself, were crabbing the price, but he then did drift and he was ultimately going to win no matter what price he went off. How impressed were you with John Bonn?
Yeah, as impressed as anyone else. I mean, it's hard to sort of know what to expect with a horse of this sort of huge reputation, of course, given the sort of pedigree and the price paid. You know, any horse that sells at one of those sales and goes for a figure like that is always going to have all eyes on them. I mean, he won as good as expected. I mean, we're going to look at the form, aren't we, and say, well, good risk at all. Won that listed race at Newbury back in February. So it's obviously a really strong race, and he's done very well. But, you know, back to my point on the Royal Bond, I mean, good risk at all has taken on a horse worth absolute thousands, and he's won just about 2,800. Maybe he could have gone to the Royal Bond, who knows? But, you know, it's frustrating that we sort of see these sort of races run for poor money, and they're so competitive and such, and no one goes abroad. That's sort of the basis of my point, rather than criticising the race itself. But no, on John Bonn, I mean, he's a supreme winner on reputation. We don't know a lot about how good he is yet. You know, he had things go his way, but look, he's clearly a very, very good horse, and you'd be expecting him to be a supreme favourite come March, bar any sort of mishaps and anything going wrong. He looks as good as what we can expect at this stage.
Kempton perhaps next, I thought, would suit him best. Kilcrut, who we have yet to see this season, I guess would be his big rival at this stage. Now, Justin, we're going to go back to Fairy House and the Dreammore Novice Chase over 2.4 miles. It was won by a really strong stayer in Beacon Edge. Gabby Narco was prominent throughout and looked the winner, but for Pecking at the last, he got the better of Fury Road, but neither of them could match Beacon Edge's finishing kick. He was ridden typical stalking ride by Dennis O'Regan. Great to see him back winning a grade one. This horse just needs a longer trip, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say he's an out and out stayer. I wouldn't consider the form either for him. For example, I think he is probably an RSA horse. And he'll step up to 3 miles at Leopardstown on Christmas. He said it was a stalking ride, but when Dennis gets it right, there's nobody better than him. But really, this horse was off the bridle the whole way, never jumped. His jumping was slow. If he jumps like that in an RSA, he'll be absolutely lapped. But it was another race that fell into his lap, really. I'm so sorry for Gavin Cromwell yesterday, hitting the crossbar in the two grade ones, and probably should have won both of them. Gabinaco sprawled at the second last, recovered his momentum, and Dara Keefe looking for a stride coming down to the last, and he only just about popped it and landed on all fours nearly again. I thought if you'd asked him at the last, he would have come up for him, and he probably would have gone on and won. He beat Fury Road, as he did the time before at Fairy House. I think, you know, the Fury Road is another one who'll benefit from the step up in trip two, and I think all three of them are likely to step up to 3 miles. You know, Beacon Edge.
He had some very good hurdle form, didn't he?
Oh yeah, he was fourth in the stairs hurdle, of course, last season. But he definitely needs 3 miles. The other two will benefit from a step up to 3 miles, but maybe not as much as Beacon Edge would. So over 3 miles, I think Beacon Edge, there's every chance, if his jumping improves, that he will confirm and maybe even, you know, enhance his superiority over those two when he steps up in trip. But I'd be going the 3 mile route rather than the 4 mile route with him. He's, you know, he's not a slow horse, and I think the main thing that needs to be done with him is his jumping needs to sharpen up. If he gets that right, who knows?
Indeed, he's probably value for more than that winning margin ultimately. Then, but that comes.
Well, I think Gabinaco should have won the race yesterday, but you know, stepping up to three, it could be a different story.
Okay. Now, before we get into the Hatton's Grace Hurdle, I do think we should bring up the loss of a fantastic horse in the race. It's really, really sad to see him break down. And that, of course, was Latest Exhibition, who had been such a magnificent horse for Paul Nonan and Brian Cooper. His battles with Monkfish last season were fantastic. Of course, he won the Grade 1 Novice Hurdle at the Dublin Racing Festival in 2020. Really sad that that horse won't be racing again this year. And our thoughts with those connections. Really sorry to lose Latest Exhibition. But the winner of the Hatton's Grace Hurdle was Honeysuckle. I mentioned it at the top of the programme. 13 is unlucky for some, but not for this mare. She made it a flawless, another victory at the very, very top level. We must be talking about an all-time great now. Justin, how does she rank among two-mile hurdlers that you've seen?
Oh, well, I say I go back a little bit further now than yourself or James in this regard. Actually, the horse that got me into racing really was a two-mile hurdler, Monksfield, back in the late 70s. But, I mean, you put her up against the greats. You put her up against the likes of Istabrak. I thought her performance yesterday was possibly the best. Well, it was the best Hatton's Grace performance I've seen since Istabrak won his second one. And it was as... That was one of her best performances, I think, yesterday, because, you know, first time out, Henry afterwards said that they got a little bit of a fright when Ronald Pump nearly beat them in the race last year. So he put a little bit of extra work into her this time, and it showed. She was racing with Ronald Pump from a long way out yesterday, but Ronald Pump, who was a very, very solid stayer, just could not go with her from the turn into the straight, and she just poured it on. She's an exceptionally good mare. She's an exceptionally good racehorse, and you know, she goes into the champion hurdle as big a certainty as Istabrak did in any of his second or third one. Anyway, I think she's unbeatable at this stage.
Racing Post rating of 162, £10 higher than when beating Ronald Pump in the race last year by just half a length, as you mentioned. James, can you see anything getting to within touching distance of this mare in March if all goes to plan?
No, I completely agree with Justin. I think she does just look in her own sort of division. And yesterday was, you know, we didn't sort of learn anything about it. It's more just sort of revision almost. The way she wins her races is just so sort of, I suppose it's almost sort of textbook. If you send someone, how would you like to have a dream horse, you know, a dream hurdler, you'd just be her. You know, she just moves through the race, flicks over them and just powers away, just, you know, almost like a flip of the switch. She's an incredible horse. And, you know, when we look back in time, we always try and compare horses from different generations. And it is very hard. But what's great about Honeysuckle is she's winning really good races and she's doing it in just a really good style. I mean, we sort of talked about races in Ireland compared to here. I mean, you know, she won her champion hurdle, you know, really, really well. And she went back to Punchdown, which is a tough ask, and beat Epitant and Goshen and Charger and all those good horses. So credit to those for bringing them over, to be fair to them. You know, she comes back time after time and puts up these performances that really just take you back. And when it comes to March, she is in a different league. She's got to continue her form. We know what this game's like. But look, as Justin says, she's going to be one of the bankers of the festival. And it might be that we're looking at her price now and come March thinking, cool, why didn't we have a bit of that? You know, she looks in a league of her own. And, you know, it's lovely to see a horse really just define the year almost, define the season. She's awesome. And you just can't knock her at all. It's really hard to.
It is. And Justin, you have closer relationships with Henry de Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore than James and I would have. There must be a lot of pressure associated with having a horse of this calibre, and unbeaten as well, that goes with that. And the Irish public have really taken the mare to their hearts. I mean, what's the reaction like after a race?
Absolutely. Well, yesterday was the biggest cheer I've heard at a race course in a long, long time. When she came back in, there were 5 and 6 deep around the parade ring. It was a throwback to more normal times, shall we say, and it was great to hear. Yep, she, you know, horses like this do capture the public imagination. She certainly has. We haven't really, I suppose, known about it since COVID took over our lives. And she was, I won't say she was just an ordinary hurdler back then, but she was yet to be a champion hurdler. But I think it was clear yesterday just, you know, just how much of a public horse that she has become. And obviously there is a deal of pressure on Henry and Rachel in preparation of this horse. But, you know, they did it last season. As I say, her programme maps itself out, which obviously should at least make a lot of difference. You know, I don't see the pressure getting to them, I'll put it that way.
Irish Champion Hurdle, the next stop once again for the magnificent Honeysuckle then. We'll be focusing on another Grade One, the Betfair Tingle Creek Chase, just after this pause.
The Racing Post Christmas Countdown offers you the chance to win the ultimate Cheltenham Festival experience for you and three friends. Travel in style to Gold Cup Day with helicopter transfers from your five-star hotel and experience fine dining in the Shea Rue restaurant with some of the finest views over the course. To enter, simply place a bet on the Racing Post app today. And on top of that, there are huge weekly prizes available as well. Find out more at racingpost.com/Christmas Countdown.
Welcome back to the final segment of this Racing Postcast, and it is over to Sandown on Saturday we go. The Betfair Tingle Creek Chase, the Grade One over just shy of 2 miles, is the headline event, and I'll read you through current market. We have Shechem Bossoir at around 6-5, Nube Negra at around 9-4, Greenatine for Paul Nichols 4-1, Alaho 10-1, Captain Guinness at 16-1, Largest now short 10-1. And it's 20-1 bar. Been a lot of noise, Justin, about Willie Mullins and Nicky Henderson and Shishkin, who is obviously not running. But this is almost a statement of intent, isn't it? The fact that he's bringing this horse over after he finished just third in the Champion Chase when sent off the 8-13 favourite last season.
Yeah, well, I do have a lot of sympathy for Willie trying to find races for all these good 2 mile chases that he has, and indeed trying to keep them apart, which he won't be able to do, you know, as the season goes on. But he has Energamine probably running in the Hilly Way Chase at Cork on Sunday. I'd say Alaho will probably go for the Durkin Chase at Punchestown on Sunday. And the Tingle Creek is not a race that he's targeted in the past, but, you know, he does have officially the best, Shechem Bossoir is still officially the best chaser in Ireland of his current mark. And I wouldn't be surprised if Willie thought that Henderson would pull Shishkin out of the race if he signaled the intent that he's going to come over with one of his big guns, and he is going to. He's no certainty. I think Shechem Bossoir has proved vulnerable at Cheltenham when a hill was put in his way. There is one at Sandown to negotiate as well, and I'm sure the connection to Nube Negra will fancy their chances a lot better of beating him at Sandown than they did, say, at Punchestown, and indeed, of course, they did beat him at Cheltenham. So Shechem Bossoir is a worthy favourite, but he's no certainty. I think it's a very interesting race.
Yeah, Willie Mullins, of course, trained under so successfully to get up that hill in this race in 2016. Quite interested that both Alaho and Captain Guinness are still in there. Would you expect both of those to run?
No, I'd say Alaho will go for the Durkin Chase at Punchestown on Sunday. Would be my opinion. Captain Guinness, he's also in the Hilly Way Chase at Cork, and Henry. Unfortunately, is in the situation that he has a very good 2 miler who just falls short at the top level, and trying to find races with these horses is not the easiest, especially for a pure 2 miler like Captain Guinness. Whichever race he runs in, he'll run his race, but I wouldn't see him being good enough for whichever race he goes for.
Yeah, De Bromhead's put the kettle on. The Champion Chase winner from last year, going to go up in trip, of course, after her effort in the Schlur Chase. British representatives Nube Negra and Greenatine, they look the best of the bunch. Which one would you prefer, James?
Of Nube Negra and Greenatine?
Yeah, just the pound separating them on ratings.
I'd have to go Nube Negra. I thought he looked... I thought it's hard to judge, but I'd probably say that the win at Cheltenham was his best by a significant margin. I know he ran a blinder in the Champion Chase, but I thought he'd taken another big step forward at Cheltenham, and I was really impressed by the way he did it. Yeah, he'd be the one, but I'd sort of emphasize what Justin says. I think Chaque and Pourceaur is really, really interesting in the race. You know, where is the hill to negotiate, as mentioned? But I think he's a really, really smart horse. I think he's a horse that's a little bit better than the rest, and I'd be surprised if he's not going to be there or whereabouts. He's a real top notch two miler, and I think he'll be okay at Sandown. You know, I think he jumps well, which is obviously very important. And it's great having him over. I find it interesting that Ewan Egger is there, actually, Maddie. I remember after the race they mentioned Kempton. You know, with Shishkin being out, whether Dan Skelton has just sort of changed plans a little bit. Obviously, there's about 85 grand up for grabs for the winner. Could it be sort of just a little bit of interest into that champion trainer market? If he wins it, I think he'd probably go ahead of Nichols. So it's an interesting sort of subtext of the race anyway, whether that sort of develops over this season.
Definitely. And there's another former winner in there as well, Defi Desoy, the 2019 winner. He's definitely got lost in his last couple of runs. Sad to see, really. Tactically, how do you see this race playing out, Justin? Chaque and Pourceaur, do we expect him to make all, given that Ewan Egger, Greenatina, hold up horses, and if Alaho and Captain Guinness aren't there, I guess he could get a relatively easy lead?
Well, if Captain Guinness goes there, he'll probably try and take them along. Chaque and Pourceaur, you can really put him anywhere in the race, but if he has to be ridden forward, then he will be, and it won't lessen his chance.
Before we get the guys' fancies for this week and indeed the weekend, let's go over to the 240 at Aintree. It's the Unibet Beecher Chase handicap. It's over the 3 miles and the 2 furlongs over the big spruce fences. James, your initial fancy, Manella Bobo, not been left in at this stage. Who else would you be looking towards?
Yeah, that's a shame, unfortunately, because I like the way he jumped and I thought he might be interesting in those sort of fences. I think my probably be watching and waiting at this stage, but Ascaria 10 was a horse I quite liked last season. Ran up to a high level as a novice and of course didn't sort of give his true running in the Irish Grand National, but he's clearly a really good horse on his day, and be interested to see how he sort of takes to Aintree. I suppose the big race is the Many Clouds, which we've just had the entry through, Album Photo, Native River, Tiger Roll all in there. That's going to be an absolute proper race, isn't it? I can't wait for that. And if they all turn up, that's going to be a real treat. So, but it's going to be a good weekend of racing, both at Sandown and Aintree. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's going to be a real cracker, isn't it? If they all turn up, Imperial Aura, who fell in the Betfair Chase Champs in there as well. So can't wait to see that. Before we leave you, let's get those all-important tips.
This will not be beaten.
Okay, Justin, seeing as you haven't been on the show in quite a while, I'll go first and give you first dibs.
I'm very interested in the Durkin Chase at Punchestown next Sunday. And if all the big guns turn up, i.e. Alaho, Envoy Island, and maybe even Fakir Dideri turn up, it's going to be one of the races of the weekend. And at this stage, I have a sneaky feeling that Fakir Dideri might be ready to step up, to make the step up and win a proper grade one, a properly contested grade one. So, with the advantage of a run behind him, which Alaho does not have. And of course, we still have maybe a little bit of a question mark about Envoy Island. So if Fakir Dideri turns up in the Punchestown Chase next Sunday, I'll give him a sneaky nap.
Fantastic. He's been operating at the high level for a few years now, hasn't he? And it won that grade one at Aintree over the mild May course, of course. But Justin is banking on him to make a real breakthrough. Maybe a bit underrated, isn't he, Fakir Dideri? James, what about you?
Yeah, every so often there's a horse that really takes me by surprise from nowhere. Last year it was Hitman and Momorel, and there's another Nichols horse this season that's done the same thing. And that's a horse called Brave Kingdom, another one for Paul Nichols, who is going to run in the Grade 2 Winter Novices Hurdle at Sandown on Friday, a race that Nichols always sort of likes to target. It's a good race at 2.25. So impressed by this horse. He looks a real, real top novice in the making. And I think he'll win the race looking at the entries. I think he's the strongest there. And it would be rather interesting if he was to win it and then go on to win the Challo as well, considering it was another Brave that won it last year for the yard. So, Brave Kingdom for me in the 2.25 at Sandown.
I love that symmetry. Great race, isn't it? Fair Frontier for Kim Bailey. I'm hoping he turns up because that could be a real cracker. That's the 2:25 at Sandown on Friday, Brave Kingdom for James, and the 2:00 at Punchestown on Sunday, Fakir Dujarry for Justin. Best of luck with wherever you're betting this week. As usual, Bruce and the team will be back on Friday to give you all the information you need for the weekend ahead. We'll see you next week.